The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Sirius XM Channel 158. However you're taking us in, I appreciate it. So does Kelly.
Yeah.
Skill Alexander. That right there is my little buddy, Kelly Bidley, everybody.
Heyo.
On this Monday, pre-wild card weekend, post-regular season, I just want to say, I want to relish every second, every minute of the next 2 weeks. Because after that, once it gets to, you know, once college football then clears, and it's down to the Final Four in the NFL, it kind of feels overish already at that point. So these next 2 weeks, I mean, if October is the greatest month of sports and sports betting with baseball, playoffs, and NFL going on in college football. If March Madness has the best two to four days to begin, first weekend, maybe this is the best five-day stretch coming up. Thursday, Friday night, college football semis. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, NFL playoffs.
I mean, look,
it's the greatest.
I get crap for it every year, but like, this is my favorite betting time of year right now. Because we got golf about to start back up.
Tennis is already starting.
Start back up.
Hit two dogs last night. Yeah. Let's go. Let's go.
From a betting standpoint, I like this more than even October. From a sports standpoint, October's better.
We'll go both ways. Yeah. On that. Let us begin before we get it. So just, again, the parameters. This is still under the guessing lines umbrella. But I don't, during the season, I don't allow myself to look at the lines and then I don't bet them until we actually do the show Monday morning. Here, I do my guesses, but then I actually look to see, and I'll tell you what my guesses were because I don't want to, I've gone a whole regular season without making bets overnight. I figure I'm not going to do that for the playoffs. I don't do it every year, so I make bets the previous night. But I will tell you what the guesses are and some surprises to me. In this wild card
week. Yeah, man.
You can tell me where they've moved since yesterday. We'll get into that. First, we always start this show on Mondays, updating Survivor. Survivor now, of course, comes to a conclusion. Circa Survivor 6, 5 entries make it to the end. We had 6 going into this last week. 5 got there. 1 person had Cincinnati. I hope that person hedged.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they monetized, in other words. I hope they made money on it. But that Survivor entry survived, Kelly, 19 quote-unquote weeks, 59 minutes, and 57 seconds.
Yeah. Brutal. Absolutely brutal. I mean,
you can't even make it. There it is. And so that's the 6-year. If you're watching on the screen right here, VSiN.com, Game Plus, wherever you're watching, that's the 6-year history of Circa Survivor. The first year, 35 of 1390 made it. That year will always be the anomaly. At least till now it's been, because then from there, 5 out of 4,080, 2 out of 6,133, 4 out of 9,267, 8 out of 14,266, and this year, 5 out of 18,718. So after the 35, 5, 2, 4, 8, and 5. Actual value of each of those 5, Kelly, in the end, $3,743,600, more than double the entire pool in the first year.
Whew. Good money if you can get it, Gil.
Yeah.
Good money if you can get it.
You know, Kelly, what I always say, $3,743,000 here, $3,743,000 there.
It adds up, yeah.
All of a sudden, you got some real money. And there they are. Dylan W10, Gary A10, Juicy Coochie 7. He wins for best winning title, winning name. Kick your knees up at Real Bro. Good for y'all. Way to go.
Yeah, I know a lot were in the house here at Circa yesterday. So if you're anybody who follows Circa on Twitter or VSiN, you were seeing all kinds of videos of the parties and celebrations going on and the sweats that come with this.
The sweats. Yeah, can I say this? Can I be the guy to say this? Does it sully? I'll use that word. Does it sully the contest at all? And no one loves the contest more than I do. And I'm going to say it again. We've talked about it on this show longer than anybody has. Does it sully it at all that now you have like the folks coming in and having 30, 40 entries at a time, and they're the ones that end up getting it. Not all people who end up with 30, 40 entries get
right,
there, obviously.
Right.
But mathematically, the odds are that one or two will, and that's what ends up happening.
Unfortunately, yes, I think.
It does. It's a little bit,
it's
right?
It's tough for me to answer no on
yes.
that. Like, I think it does. Like, especially when everybody's so open about it these days, too, right? It's like, hey, it's me, and this is my entry, but here's my whole team that's in with me.
The braggadocio of the people who would not their original entry,
that too.
They invest in it and then act like, they, you know, what they did is a little more. First of all, great accomplishment.
Great
no
investing.
No matter what, great investing. But maybe it's, you know what it is? It's the poker culture of the where the sports bettors sort of like, pipe it down, buddy. Right. There's a little bit of a cultural difference there, I think, that rubs us a little. Anyway, still the greatest contest in the world.
It's awesome.
I think it's worth asking the question.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I think it does. I think it does, unfortunately. Yeah. And I know those guys. I don't want to say they feel that way, but ideally you would rather have one person, you know, five individuals that you could honor.
Listen, the counter to that is, hey, people who get 30, 40 entries, they're growing the pool.
Mm-hmm. And look, all these things, though, we talk about them as their issues or problems or something. It just, these type of things happen when you got a contest that is so great, becomes so popular,
yes,
and expands year after year. You get more strategy, more thought behind how,
yes,
to attack it. And I think a major compliment to what's done with Circa and Derek Stevens, everything done here with these contests.
It's like anything in life, right? We used to say the Sloan Sports Analytics Conference back in its early days. Oh, my God, I could talk to Mark Cuban for 30 minutes one-on-one. By year four, you can't get near him, right?
Yeah.
It's just flooded with humanity.
Right.
So it's like anything in life. By the way, but let's give a shout-out to our buddy. Let's go to Millions for a second. Can we shout-out our buddy Steve Fezzik?
Yes.
Steve Fezzik, I believe.
On the graphic right there.
I believe, yes, I'm correct. He ties for ninth place. That is a, seven-way tie for ninth, am I looking at? Seven. Seven-way tie for ninth place.
Yeah.
He ends up 56-31-3. What is that? So he's three games-ish behind the winner. We had a tie atop, right? Coin, Hop, and Bison Sports Cards 2. Tie for the top of Million. Is that right? Wow. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Isn't that what that was?
No, I was trying to figure out. We were discussing off air. I know Andy Molitor was in the mix and had flown in town for this. Our good buddy Andy.
We got to get Andy.
I don't know what his dang team name is, so I'm sitting over
either.
Here trying to figure out if you can read between the lines.
Wine and Cheese,
is
that one of the names? You know what? I apologize to Andy on public because we have a relationship with Drew, and Andy gets the shaft from us, which we don't mean to do at all. We love Andy.
Right.
Yeah.
And I also know where you're going with this. Their Friday pod all year has been Drew with his wine recommendations.
Yes.
And then it's Andy in Minnesota being like, well, I'm going to make a stew this weekend. Like, they're so different when it comes to that.
Steve Fezzik, shout out Steve Fezzik, finishes ninth. So when you break that down, I thought it was a five-way tie. It was a five-way tie. It ends up at 90,000 exactly. But it's a little more than that. It's like seven. So it's a few thousand below that.
Yeah. Get it together, Steve.
Stevie Fezzik does it again. And so let the hateration just wash over from everybody. Look, no one busts you know what's more than I do,
sure,
on a weekly basis, but give the man credit for this. He can play a contest.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Potato Commish was up there on the screen. We get tweets from him all the time. What happened to our boy Money Gun Guz? Did he have a bad last week?
Yes.
Sorry.
Didn't see him there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
It's absolutely. I mean, I know we've made, we've questioned Steve on plenty of things this year. His actual betting has come up on this show. The VSiN NBA contest last year.
Yeah.
I thought he really flexed his muscles as a contest guy then. Once again, Circa Millions, he's up there. So, yeah.
All right. So we're going to go game by game right after the break here. But just let me just say at the beginning of this. First of all, how'd your week 18 go?
It was good. Only had a few bets. I don't know about you.
I did a lot of three-team 10-leggers.
So I had
three-leg 10-team.
Only did one. It was pretty big, though. That got home, thankfully.
Let me just say it correctly. Three-team 10-pointers. I don't know why I couldn't say it correctly.
That's tough.
Sorry.
I got Denver, the Chargers under home. That was easy. And then I was on Ravens last night. So that was exciting.
That game was off the chains.
Where
awesome.
Do we, I know we're going to go over to the breakdown. I heard best game of the year.
I think it was up there.
It's up there. I don't think it's the best game of the year. If you want to sell me on most entertaining quarter, best quarter, something
best,
like that. Like that last quarter was ridiculous.
Out of nowhere, by the way.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. So just macro this before we get into game by game here after break. Macro this. How many of the 14 playoff teams do you legit think can win the Super Bowl? How many of the 14 playoff teams do you think can legit win the Super Bowl, can get through the gauntlet of the playoffs all the way to the promised land?
Man. Okay. Ready for it, Gil? Let's toss out Steelers in the AFC, and I think that's the only team in the AFC I can toss out, and I'll toss out the Panthers in the NFC, and I think that's really the only two teams I can throw out.
So 12 of 14.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you.
I think it's a boring answer, and I think a lot of people would share our answer, too.
I think a lot of people would also add the Niners and the Chargers, and maybe there's some that still don't believe in the Jaguars and stuff like that. But I think just out of respect, I'll say it's 14 out of 16 as well.
The AFC, I don't know how you can add anybody more than the Steelers.
Agree.
It's too. I don't
agree.
It's a lot of good to pretty good teams in there, right? Nobody's great.
I think the correct answer is 14. I really do. And I don't think there's ever been another year where we could say that. 12 out of 14. Why do I keep going to 60? 12 out of 14.
Because we did the 16 last week so much.
12 out of 14, I think, is the correct answer to that question. We've had two coach firings also as well. Raheem Morris last night for the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons didn't waste any time. He's out in Atlanta, as is the GM, Fontenot, gone. That didn't work out well. And that, of course, Fontenot's sort of imprint is the whole Michael Penix drafting. And then this morning, in case you missed it, Kevin Stefanski out in Cleveland. But as Adam Schefter points out, after moving on from Cleveland, Stefanski now expected to be one of the top candidates in this hiring cycle. So we'll see about that. But two coaches gone already, and we haven't even been 24 hours gone from the NFL regular season. That's how it starts. We'll get into it game by game on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Head into the new year with a smarter betting strategy powered by VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro, get instant access to everything you need to make informed bets every day. Sign up now, get daily best bets from VSiN hosting guests, real-time DraftKings, and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 video, and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus expert picks and prop data throughout the NFL and college football playoffs. Get started today for just $9.99 or save 50% with an annual plan. Start betting smarter today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Man, oh man, what a time of year. What a great time. We had tweets of beating the book. Mike Armstrong, incredible. The entry parts one went 19-1 and was the only entry to lose yesterday, week 18, when the Browns won with a last second heartbreaking field goal. Last year, he went 19-1 under the entry name Tars, and was eliminated in week 18 when the Falcons lost in overtime to the Panthers. Now, Mike, we saw this in the Visa newsletter, which our buddy Bill AD writes lovingly every single day. And the way that it was phrased in the newsletter, it was 19-1. We weren't sure if that just meant, oh, I would have gone 19-1 versus that he actually lost in the last week as well. But what you're telling us is this is 2 years in a row where my man has lost the last week. Because 10 entries lost last year in the final week. Good God.
That's wild. Yeah.
That's rough.
He tweeted about it too. We started getting this yesterday a little bit. We're trying to confirm some of it. But yeah, Pete Tarzowitz, I'm gonna go with. But at Pete Tarz on Twitter, T-A-R-Z.
Yeah.
I couldn't really figure it out from his tweet either, but man, if that is wild.
And you're right.
Brutal.
If you have Pete Tarz on air, what do you say to me? Like, so how much did that suck? You know, like
follow-up
what?
And question. Then
how much did it suck last year?
How much money did you lose specifically?
Robert, sorry.
You know what?
Sorry,
Pete Tarz. Hopefully you did. Yeah, hopefully you were smart and got something out of it 2 years in a row. You're probably... Well, I don't want to say able to laugh about it, but hopefully in 5 years from now, you'll be able to laugh about it.
Hope you made out both times.
I'm going to give it 5 years, though. I'm going to give it 5 years.
Square Bob 2022. Is it possible Survivor 2020 is the anomaly because 2020 is also the last year that only had 16 games? Happy New Year. Yeah, it was, I guess, 17 weeks of Survivor. the first year because there was also a Thanksgiving.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. But it was also the fact that you could just pick against the Jets and the Jaguars every single week until you couldn't. I got all the way to week 14, lost on the Rams as a 17-point favorite against the Jets. But that was kind of the strategy that year. It was very simplistic that year. Judd O'Connor, I took the 90-1 ticket on the Panthers to win the NFC a few weeks back. Looking to hedge out, I don't really see a route unless I take an NFC winner. Do I just wait and hope MVP Matt has a repeat performance in Charlotte? Well.
Wait, Gil, I think we can answer this the same way we discussed the, well, actually, hopefully those people didn't cash those out. Remember we were talking about the Panthers? What was that?
Oh, yeah.
The Panthers to win the division, right? That? And then actually got out.
And we were like, cash out.
100-1, right? It was 100-1, and we were like, cash out like the next day.
Was that even this year?
Am I thinking of 2 years ago?
I might have been last year.
I hope you're right and I'm wrong and that was 2 years ago because you're right. Otherwise, we gave terrible advice. Yeah. But
Kelly and I can't get these years straight.
Whatever either. That ticket is, I'm going to give the same advice. Probably cash out some of that.
Money down bets. I feel like Stefanski should have been gone a long time ago. Why was he given such a long leash? I don't know other than the Deshaun Watson thing was such a mess that maybe it prolonged things for him. To be honest with you.
I mean, I'll throw you an early Are We Sure this week. Are we sure Kevin Stefanski's a good coach, a bad coach?
I have no idea.
Me either.
But apparently Adam Schefter thinks he's going to be highly coveted. And John Massey, congratulations on finishing the season with as many interceptions as the Jets this year. Performance bonus?
It's incredible.
The New York Jetropolitans did the impossible. Zero interceptions in a 17-game schedule. First time since 1933 any team has gone through the season without a pick. Again, the previous record was the Niners went 14 games in a row without a pick last year. It's just incredible. It's almost impossible. And then there were some stats suggesting that the Jets defenders were so close to receivers that it was even more impossible than you think it is. That they weren't. It wasn't like they didn't have good coverage. Let's do it. Let's go to a game. Guessing lines. Wild card week. No intro. All right.
Saturday afternoon here on the West Coast, 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern. It's not the Houston Texans. LA Rams at Carolina Panthers.
Rams at Carolina. Houston gets spared. The 5-seed Rams, the 4-seed Panthers at Carolina because they won the NFC South. With a three-way tiebreaker, 8-9 is their record. Rams get in there at 12-5. Rams, in case you missed it yesterday, real quick, 6-6 game. Rams go 18 plays, 74 yards, fourth and goal at the 2. Stafford to Puka, jump ball, one-handed snag, 13-6 Rams.
Yeah.
And then Arizona, second play of the next drive, first and 10 at the Rams, 31, Brissett picked by Akello Witherspoon. Rams from their own 31 with 49 seconds left. How many times have we seen the Rams do it this year? With virtually no time on the clock, they're like, no problem, Beavis field goal, 16-6 at the half. Arizona, though, would get two consecutive touchdowns on their first two drives of the second half to get it to 16-13 and then to take the lead 20-16. But then it was all Rams, 6 plays, 70 yards, Stafford to Parkinson from 21 out, 23-20 Rams, late third quarter. Next time the Rams had the ball, 6 plays, 66 yards, Stafford to Higbee from 22 out, 30-20 Rams. And then the next time the Rams had the ball, 12 plays, 81 yards, Stafford to Parkinson from one out, 37-20. That's how it would end. Nacua's final piece for the offensive player of the year, 10 catches, 76 yards, a touchdown. We'll get into that coming up. Awards a little later on the show.
Four tutties for Stafford. Your new favorite in the MVP market once again.
As he should be. And then there's the Carolina Panthers. Panthers on Saturday. Tampa Bay came out, 9 plays, 74 yards. Baker to Otten from 18 out, 7-0 Bucks. Next time Tampa Bay had the ball after Baker missed a wide open Payne Durham on 1st and 10, the Carolina 13, McLaughlin, 29-yard field goal, 10-0 late first quarter. Next time Tampa Bay had the ball, this Tampa Bay 3rd and 7 at their own 23, Baker picked by Christian Roseboom. Carolina set up at the Tampa Bay 19, 3 plays, Bryce to Tremble from 8 out, 10-7 Bucks, 10:50 left in the second quarter. And here's where the shenanigans began. Tampa Bay ensuing kickoff fumbled. Looks like Carolina recovered on the field. They rule Tampa Bay maintains possession. Kelly, I never saw a replay telling me that. It was very strange.
Yeah.
Was the Panther not down by contact? Nobody said a word. Then they punt. after Tucker runs into Baker and the ball slips out of Baker's hands on consecutive plays. Anyway, still 10-7. Then Carolina, 3rd and 6 at the Tampa Bay 49. Bryce picked by Jacob Parrish. That led to a McLaughlin field goal. 13-7 Bucks at the half. Third quarter, oh my God. Carolina, 4th and 1 at their own 44. Hubbard does get three yards on this drive. But that was after officials blew the whistle and ruled an incomplete pass on a 1st and 10 of the Tampa Bay 34. The call was then changed to a backwards pass to Dowdle that went out of bounds, they said. And Carolina loses 7 yards on the play. The Panthers, by rule, should have had the option to redo the play. Instead, with that drive, they were forced to settle for a Fitzgerald 54-yard field goal, which missed wide left. Bowles, by the way, was told to put the challenge flag back in his pocket on this sequence. This was insane. You can't do that to a team. It completely destroyed that drive. You blew the whistle, then you acted like you can't then take away 7 yards from them. You got to let them replay it. Carolina, next time they had the ball, after a huge third down pickup to McMillan, OPI called on him. It looked like hand fighting within 5 yards. Play before that, Bucks linebacker Servace Dennis ripped off the helmet of Tommy Tremble. Should have been an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty and an automatic first down for the Panthers. Nothing called. Anyway, Tampa Bay, after a PI called on Carolina then, when Otten's feet got tangled with Nick Scott. End up with a McLaughlin field goal, 16-7, Bucks early fourth quarter. Carolina first attempt, the Tampa Bay 20. Dowdle slips on an attempted pitch back to Bryce. What were they doing, trying to like a flea flicker at the 20? Fumbles recovered by Labonte David. McLaughlin then the 38-yard field goal try blocked after Carolina successfully challenged an Otten would-be catch. Carolina 4th and 8 at the Tampa Bay 48 with 3:10 left. Bryce McMillan for 40 behind the defense down to the 8. 2 plays later, Bryce to Jalen Coker. What a catch. 16-14 Bucks. Panthers within the number, but Tampa Bay from their own 29 with 2:23 left. Panthers have all 3 timeouts, 2-minute warning. Can't get them off the field in time. Tampa Bay ends up with the ball with 18 seconds left, but from their own 3. Ball game. Tampa Bay wins by 2. But what did I just say? 4 different things that went against the Panthers. I am so glad the Falcons won yesterday, because that is justice served, getting the Panthers in the playoffs. That was Miami versus Jets. You remember that Monday night game earlier this year, the Dolphins versus the Jets, where every call went against the Jets and for the Dolphins?
Yep.
Egregiously so. This was the comp to that, where it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it was bad. There were a couple games bad officiating this weekend.
Tedaro McMillan, 4 catches for 85 yards in this ball game for the Panthers. His final resume point for the
might have been
offensive rookie of the year there. He's a massive favorite in that. Anyway, I guessed Rams -8.5 at Carolina, and it is?
It is 10.5.
Yeah, I was low on that. That was probably my worst guess of the bunch.
Keep that one out of teaser range for us.
That was the one where I had a bad guess, and I was, and instead of wanting to bet it, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're probably right. It should be that.
Yeah.
Although, remember, Carolina beat the Rams earlier this year, 31-28, week 13. We'll talk about that next game as well. Next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
PropitX, the number one sports prediction market, has some of the best future pricing you'll find on college football, national championship, and Super Bowl odds. With a huge holiday slate shaping playoff seating, now's the perfect time to get in and take advantage of PropitX's 20% purchase match. Download PropitX today and experience the future of winning. Use promo code VSiN to get started. We mentioned earlier, and I'm sure you've heard, Raheem Morris out as head coach of the Falcons. Terry Fontenot out as the GM as well. And in addition, this morning, Kevin Stefanski out as the coach of the Cleveland Browns. We have a couple confirmations of guys staying. Zach Taylor is staying with the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals organization, which notoriously does not like to make changes, are on brand once again. Adam Schefter reporting continuity in Cincinnati. Bengals are bringing back head coach Zach Taylor and director of player personnel Duke Tobin for the 2026 season, per team president Mike Brown. Mike Brown always just stands pat. That's his thing. And then
I'm going to go with cleared by quarterback Joe Burrow. Did you hear him yesterday? Burrow a little feisty.
I saw. Do you see that video? Is that video real? The one that I was looking at where he's like fixing his hair for 30 seconds?
I didn't see that one.
I don't know. But the other sort of announcement of this is not a coach, this is a GM. The New York Giants are keeping Joe Shane. Joe Shane, this is from Jordan Renan on Twitter. Joe Shane, being retained by the Giants, according to sources, has already been informed of the decision by ownership, who believe he's built a good young core. Giants went 4-13 this season and are 22-55-1 with a playoff appearance, four seasons in charge. I had to do the whole look around the mic stand.
You got to get that other TV on.
Joe Shane is, this guy is Teflon. Joe Shane, of course, was featured prominently in the Giants preseason Hard Knocks a couple years ago when they botched the entire Saquon Barkley thing. It was just, it's amazing. He's still the GM. I wonder how Giants fans feel about that. Boy, oh boy. Okay, we get tweets of beating the book. This is from, let's see, Tim Bowers on Twitter. Oh, there's plenty of these. Tim Bowers, I got your schedule focused bounce back team for 2026. Fourth place, 9-8 Lions. Get the honor of playing the Titans, Giants, Cardinals, and the NFC South next year, plus the Jets. Oh, and Goff threw for 4,400 yards in a year with a bad O-line. Oh, and he won in the cold. Yeah, Tim, I think you're right, but I think the market will not be surprised by that at all, right? It's going to be built in.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's great, great tweet. It's something I have written down and in the back of my mind 100%. As well. But like Gil said, I think a lot of people do. I think the books will be ready for that.
Bob Sacamano, lost Brown season win total under 4.5. Steelers win total under 8.5 on those last second field goals. Both were picks I got from a numbers game. Heartbreaking. Thanks for the fun ride, though. Did we give out Browns under 4.5? Oh, maybe a guest did.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I didn't. I wasn't on that. And I damn sure wasn't on the Steelers under this year, Gil. I can tell you that.
You definitely weren't. And there's so many tweets. Let me just read one more because we got to get to the game. Sean Ebbett, I have a 350-1 ticket on Miami to win the national title from the night before the final rankings. Hedge, he says, ? Well, Sean, you bet it for a reason.
Wait, what was the question?
He's got a 350-1 ticket on Miami to win the title from the night before the final rankings. Because remember, nobody thought they were going to be in.
It's a big number. It's a big number. I mean, I guess
you can work with it.
I was going to say too early, but at that big a number, it's not too early.
At that big of a number, it's not too early to do it the week before.
I mean, it also depends, right? Did you bet it because you believe in Miami, or did you bet it because you wanted to grab a number that you didn't think was going to be there? And if that was the whole point, start banking money now. Fine.
Yeah. But if you have some belief, core belief, that hasn't changed, then that's a different story. All right, just let me just say this. Carolina did play the Rams this year again, week 13, for those who need a reminder. 31-28 Panthers. Remember, that was the game where Stafford, he threw a touchdown pass early and set the record for the most consecutive touchdown passes without a pick, 28 touchdowns without an interception, and it was a 7-7 game, and then he proceeded to throw a pick on two consecutive possessions.
Yeah, I lost a lot of money in that game.
One when it was 3rd and 6 of the Panthers' 8, which prevented a Rams score, Nick Scott in the end zone. And then the next possession, it was Mike Jackson with a pick 6. That was also the game where it was 28-24, Bryce to Teteroa McMillan for 43 yards on 4th and 2 to put the Panthers up 31-28. And the game ended when Stafford was sacked by Derek Brown. He fumbled it and was picked up by DJ Wanham of the Panthers. So they did play once. Panthers did win it. Those were the circumstances. Obviously, Rams still one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl. I understand why they're a double-digit favorite. Second game on Saturday is?
Saturday night, 8 Eastern, Packers at Bears.
No need to talk too much about the Packers yesterday because Clayton Toon was playing quarterback, and just for giggles, Clayton Toon was 6 of 11 for 34 yards.
Jeez.
He's like, Max Brosmer, hold my beer. Watch this. The only thing, by the way, Minnesota won that game 16-3. There's just no correlation about anything we saw yesterday to the actual Packers. But I do want to say the one play that just summarized everything for the that game was Minnesota had a 1st and goal, the Packers 5. They were up 13-0. You see this play where Brosmer thought he was down by contact and he nonchalantly got up. He just sort of stood there and the ball got knocked out of his hands, recovered by Terrence Sorrell.
Did not see this.
Oh my God. And then the other part of that game, the only other noteworthy part is it was 16-0. There's, you know, a few seconds left in the game.
Sure.
And they roll out McManus to kick a field goal to make it 16-3 to get within the final number.
And a half, yeah.
Just to not get shut out. So of course the It's Fixed crowd went crazy on that. I will say this though, the It's Fixed crowd got everything they needed for that Carolina Tampa Bay game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am very glad that McCarthy started that game. I'll tell you that much, Gil. Because okay. I mean, I said it in last week. I was prepared to fire on Green Bay if Brosmer was going to get the full game.
You know what is hilarious to Washington fans? Everybody immediately wants to say, "Oh, Jaden Daniels, I don't know, he might not be able to stay on the field." Blah blah blah. Are you kidding me? JJ McCarthy.
Man. It's bad.
I mean, what are we? No one says this about him. Like,
oh, people say this. Okay. It's a major concern at this point.
This guy has played nothing.
I mean, that was a concern early in the season. It was, hey, you're into year two. We don't even know what the guy is yet because he can't get on the field.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then remember, there's the big questions of we don't know if he's ready or not, but he's got to play if he's going to get used to the NFL level at all.
Jordan Love will be back, of course, for Green Bay. At Chicago, there's the 7-seed Packers against the 2-seed Bears. Bears lost to the Lions yesterday. Bears, Ben Johnson, he played everybody. They went the distance. In case you missed it, it was 6-0 Detroit. Then Detroit went 9 plays, 76 yards, including a 4th-and-1 encroachment at their own 33, where the Bears gave them a first down. 6 plays later, Goff to Gibbs from 15 out, 13-0 Lions. Bates would miss a 53-yard field goal try wide left to keep the score at 13-0 at the half. Chicago 2nd-4, the Detroit 37 to start the second half. Caleb picked in the end zone by Avante Maddox. And then Detroit got a Bates chip shot field goal to make it 16-0 late third quarter. And then the Bears did what the Bears do. This game was like completely the Bears brand for the season. Down 16-0. Bears 7 play 65 yards. Caleb to Jahdae Walker from 25 out. Manungai in from 2, cuts the lead in half, 16-8 early fourth quarter. Next time Chicago had the ball, 13 plays 88 yards with third play of the drive. A snap getting by Caleb to the goal line and him calmly throwing it downfield incomplete. Thought that was awesome. Because I'm like, good for you, Caleb. Keep your head about you. Then he goes to Kmet for 19, to Loveland for 27 on the drive. Eventually, Caleb to Loveland from 1 out. Touchdown to Kmet, who gets popped, but holds on for the 2-point conversion. We're tied at 16 with 5:25 left. And then Detroit, 3rd-and-20 at the Chicago 35. Goff picked off a deflection by Kevin Byard. Chicago with the ball, tie game from their own 26 with 2:11 left, all of their timeouts, but a 3-and-out with an intentional grounding setting them back. Detroit from their own 37 with 1:41 left, 2 timeouts. They get the Bates field goal to win it, 19-16. But because the Eagles lost, the Bears maintain the 2-seed. So it's the Packers at the Bears for the 2nd game after the Carolina Rams game on Saturday. I said Bears minus 1.5. That was my guess. And it is?
That's where we were at open pretty much everywhere. This line is moving around. You can shop right now. 1.5 on the Bears at DraftKings right now. 1.5 on the Packers at FanDuel/Boyd right now.
See, when I looked at it, I thought the Packers were the favorite last night. When I guessed Bears, I thought Packers were favorites.
They were this morning, says Danny.
Okay. Yeah, I saw Packers as the favorite.
No, Packers at DraftKings, with 1.5.
Yeah.
So it's been jumping around. Pick them at Circa behind us.
Now, of course, these two teams played twice this year. They are division opponents after all. Week 14, Green Bay beat Chicago 28-21. Remember, that was a game where Caleb rolled out left, down a touchdown, and then sort of off balance threw it weakly into the end zone. Keyshawn Nixon picked it off to seal the game for Green Bay. And then what most people will remember is 2 weeks after that, week 16 on a Saturday night, that was the game where Chicago recovered the onside kick late, scored the tying touchdown in regulation. Then Malik Willis fumbled the ball in plus territory in overtime, and the Bears came down and Caleb did his thing, and the Bears won it in overtime, so they split. I think it's a little disrespectful to the Bears for the Packers to be favored. I get it based on the circumstances of what I just described. But
I thought it was going to be Bears' small favorite, too. Yeah. I teased up Packers. Packers and a 6-point teaser for me.
Okay. What is it right now?
You can find it anywhere. 1.5 either side. Either way. A lot of pick-ems out there.
I think I like the Bears. I think the magic carpet ride continues for one more week. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Fidlin on this beautiful Monday morning. Hope you're having a happy new year. I didn't say happy new year. I said hope you're having a happy new year.
Well done.
As the
well done,
statute of limitations comes to
this. This is your last day, at least to say it to me.
That's right.
At least that. Which I would hope most people would feel that way. I'm giving today because a lot of people are returning from vacations, right?
That's
so,
right.
So you're going to see people last work, Happy say. New Year.
And after today, shut your pie hole.
Nah.
Yeah. Okay. Throughout the show, in addition to going through the wild card weekend games, of course, also going to talk about the coaching moves or non-moves already. Again, Kevin Stefanski out in Cleveland. We already know Raheem Morris is out in Atlanta, as is Fontenot, their GM, or their former GM now. We already know that Joe Shane is staying as GM with the Giants. Zach Taylor staying as head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Tom Pelissero now reporting that only coaches who have a first-round bye or aren't in the playoffs are permitted to interview this week. Talking about the Titans here, they are asking to or looking to interview for their head coaching vacancy, because remember, McCoy was an interim coach. Looking to interview Lou Anarumo, who is the defensive coordinator of the Colts, Vance Joseph, the DC of the Broncos, Matt Nagy, the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, and Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs. And all four, weren't all four in Tennessee at some point? Am I mistaken about that? I
believe so. What Danny tells us. Mm. Vance Joseph, of those four, who's most likely to get a head coaching job?
Well, Vance Joseph, Nagy, and Spagnuolo have already had one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't go so well.
I don't know.
That's a toss up.
Vance has had a heck of a couple seasons in Denver. I think he gets another shot at one. Do you think Spags wants it?
I don't know.
It's a very comfortable position you're
it
in right
really
now.
Is.
You know what I mean? Like,
what a beautiful thing to be
for a guy that's been around the NFL and knows how this business works.
He had his taste of being a head coach. Patrick Mahomes is coming back. Andy Reid's got the offense. You've got the defense. Doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. It's weird to say, but I kind of feel that way. Like, I don't really know how much. The one I'm most interested in is...
Anarumo might want a shot at one, so I'd say him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point. He will, if he wants one, or he does want, he will definitely want one of the people on that list, right? Everybody else could, in theory, want to stay. The one I'm most interested in, I would say, is the report from Mike Florio about Tom Brady trying to get Brian Flores to the Raiders.
That's the most inspired choice to me. Brian Flores got to be the defensive coordinator of the year.
Oh, I would say so. I will even say assistant coach of the year.
Or at least body of work even beyond this past year, right? Whatever happened in Miami happened. Should get another try.
So, I mean, it's bizarre because the man's currently in a lawsuit involving the NFL and multiple NFL teams. This is part of the reason why he hasn't gotten more of these opportunities. But, man, I think he would be one of the best 32 coaches in the NFL.
On Twitter, Jonathan Sears. Yo, met you guys last year when I was in Vegas for the Pizza Expo. Good stuff. Black Dog Pizza opening in 3 weeks, he says. I'm in the Circa Playoff Survivor. The only playoff team I've taken is so far is the Bears. First look, I like Houston and Green Bay the most this week. What say you? Jonathan, I am not going to chime in. I didn't even know there was a Circa Playoff Survivor. Did you?
No.
No idea. Good for you.
Is it another state?
I like your strategy, though, Jonathan. And by the way, why do pizza shops get to be called parlors, but nothing else does? Like, if I sold bagels, I couldn't call it a bagel parlor? It's only reserved for pizza?
I told you ice cream parlor, too.
Well, that's true. Spence CC.
But you're right. There's not many parlors.
What was weird about that Carolina backwards pass? Oh, I mentioned this, Spence. He says, why did the official say it went out of bounds when it didn't actually go out of bounds at all? We're not supposed to believe what everyone's eyes saw. That was the most bizarre part of it. Not only was the whistle blown and Carolina couldn't advance the football, but they changed the incomplete pass on the field to ball went out of bounds. No, it didn't.
But by the way, one I meant to bring up when we were going over the Bears game, because I think Caleb was one of the three, at least three that I saw this weekend. The grounding of, let me throw it so clearly out of bounds, and you cannot tell me there's a receiver in the area, and they just don't call intentional grounding.
Yeah.
Drives me insane.
Money down bets. If you guys were to construct an NFL staff out of VEASAN hosts and analysts, including yourselves, how would you do it? Head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, GM. Of course, Fezzik would be the clock management guy. I want to be the clock management guy. Forget Fezzik. I almost said something else. Danny Higgins is my head coach / offensive coordinator.
Wow.
There you go. Man has played football as a quarterback and professionally in Europe. He gets the job. You're welcome, Danny. Danny said thank you, Mayor. All right, we got a lot of tweets, but we'll get to them coming up. Next, let's go to Sunday.
Sunday, early window, Bills at Jaguars.
Bills at the Jaguars. This was the guess. And by the way, for those, again, who are just tuning in, I make my guess, but I actually look for the playoffs after I make my guess. But I'll tell you what my guess was. I was the most surprised by this one.
Me too.
Buffalo with Mitch Trubisky. So we were right. Josh Allen handed the ball off to Cook.
See ya.
And he was like, see ya. There's my starting streak continues. He exits. Trubisky in. Trubisky was good.
And good on the books. I had him up the whole time, Gil. I was like, give me some Josh Allen props to go under. I couldn't get anything in.
No need to go through this Buffalo game. They destroyed the Jets. Trubisky to Knox from 17 out, 7-0. Ty Johnson in from 6, 14-0. Trubisky to Gabe Davis for 18, to Reggie Gilliam for 22, 3 plays later. Trubisky to Ray Davis from 2 out, 21-0. At that point in the game, by the way, 21-0, the total yards at one point was 197-9.
Yeah. Brady Cook also really bad.
Aaron Glenn is still a coach. Buffalo in the second half. Trubisky to Gabe Davis from 2 out. So what a catch by Davis, snatching it from the defender on fourth down. Prater out, so then they kept going for 2. 29-0 to Coleman. Then it got 35-0, 2-point try, no good. 35-8 was your final. 470-122 in total yards. The Bills get the 6th seed. And the Jaguars with the 3 seed. Tennessee did score first. Ward to Aya Maynard from 39, the big chunk. A few plays later, Ward in from 7, 7-0. Was there a moment there at 7-0 where you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was early.
Yeah.
I was very aware it was early. But, yeah, it's the Jags.
But Tennessee does that. It seems like Tennessee has done that 9 times this year where they score first. Then it was all Jacksonville. 7 plays, 67 yards. Trevor to Parker Washington from 23 out. Then Ward went out of the game with an injury. Brandon Allen was in. A little later, Jacksonville, 82 yards. Trevor to Strange from 7 out, 14-7. Then Allen got picked by Antonio Johnson, 58 yards of the house, 21-7. Next time Jacksonville had the ball, Trevor to Quentin Morris from 5 out, 28-7. Turnover on downs. Jacksonville got the ball with 3 seconds left in the half, and Cam Little sunk a 67-yard field goal.
It's awesome.
There's a weapon for the playoffs. 31-7 at the half. It would end 41-7. The Jaguars decided they only put Nick Mullins in for the last drive and a half of this game. Like, Trevor Lawrence was in there well beyond this game was settled.
It was I never really have a problem with it, Gil. It's the whole NBA like thing too. You're like up 20, but the game's important enough that you need to win it.
I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying it's always fascinating to see how coaches play the final game.
Oh, completely. Because I mean, when we get to the Texans, right? Like every coach handles this differently.
So this is the first game on Sunday of the triple header on Sunday. It's the 6th-seeded Bills and the 3rd-seeded Jaguars. I guessed Jaguars -1.5.
Me too.
And my guess was, I'm not going to make it the full 3 because Josh Allen exists. So I want to be cognizant of that, but the Jags should be the favorite. And then it came out, and let me just say this. I was right. When I guessed Chicago last night, it was Green Bay. That line has come towards me. This one, when I guessed the Jaguars -1.5, I couldn't believe Buffalo's the favorite. And they're still the favorite?
It came down a little bit like later last night, but no, man, it's 1.5 pretty much everywhere on the Buffalo side right now.
This is a disrespectful line to me.
I'm with you. I hate it. I kind of hate the idea. Jags are the other leg of that teaser I brought up, so it's Jags and Packers in a teaser for me, and I bet Jags money line too. I bet it's small. I guess there's no reason to, I mean, especially as we're seeing this morning, I don't think there's any reason to rush. I played even on the money line, though, a little bit. I'm with you. I thought Jags would be 1.5, 2-point favorites. You know how much I love Josh Allen, but it's Josh Allen and a bunch of nothing on that Buffalo side. You got a defense that Trevor Lawrence should be able to carve up. And we'll see. We'll see what this Jags D can do to slow down Buffalo.
I just want to say it again. The Jaguars winning the AFC South and ending up with a 3 seed is one of the more incredible things ever because the Jaguars, again, finished the season. Well, let's just put it this way. Houston played Jacksonville, and Houston won, and it was the first of a 9-game winning streak to close the season for the Texans. So when the Texans beat the Jaguars that week, they then got to within one game of the Jaguars. And if you told the Texans, guess what? That's the first of a 9-game winning streak to the end of the year. You're clearly going to win the division, right? Of course, Jacksonville wins their last 8 and never lets them get the division.
It's insane.
It's incredible.
And we could talk about the competition all we want. It's still 8 in a row. It's wild.
Wrong team favored. I bet the Jaguars.
Yep, me too. Agreed.
It's as simple as that. Love you, Josh Allen, but come on. Some respect on the Jaguars' name. Let's go. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.